Hey, everybody. I'm David Logeman, one of the elders here at Bethel. I'm subbing today for Pastor Craig Johnson, Dr. Craig Johnson. Yeah, he's amazing. And the message today is the amazing gift that Jesus purchased for every single one of us, and that is freedom from the law. So I want to share with you today the amazing promises of grace, because so many times we get caught up in the law and thinking that that's God's will for us. And you'll find out today that that's not true. So let me begin with the good news right up front. The Holy Spirit revealed a lot of this to the Apostle Paul, and he talks about it in the book of Galatians. And he sums it up in Galatians 5, verse 13. For you were called to freedom from the law. If you're called, what that means is that was always God's intention. Always God's intention. Oftentimes Christians think that the Ten Commandments was the original intention and that somehow things evolved from there, but that's not true. You'll find out today the truth. And I just want to remind you what Jesus says in the Gospels. He said, if you abide in my word, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. That's God's intention today, is to set you free. He doesn't want you in under bondage of any sort. And the enemy uses the law. Oh, my God. He's so good at it. He's so crafty and subtle about it. Well, let me give you a little background about myself, because I think that's why Jesus drew me to this, because I was so beat up in the past by this teaching of the law. All the churches I attended as a child, all the way to right before I came to Bethel, they all taught, yeah, Jesus is your Savior, but you got to maintain your relationship. Do your best to keep the Ten Commandments. And when you sin, just confess that sin and do the best you can. I mean, that was basically the formula. The first part's correct, because we can do nothing without Jesus. But the other part of that formula is not correct. And I suffered a lot because of that. And then once I came to this promise, and then promise after promise after promise, I was like, okay, now I'm getting it. And he wants to reveal his truth to you today. Let me just make a few points of why this gift is so important. I spoke a little bit about that the enemy uses the law against you. If you think that God's going to bless you based on what you do, it's going to be hard for you to receive. One of my questions to Jesus years ago was, why am I not blessed more? This was part of the answer, not the whole answer, but it's definitely part of the answer, because I was taught that I was supposed to do the right thing and, you know, do my best to keep the commandments. And it was really by my own effort to please him. And that is not true. It's not that God's not interested in a relationship with you and wanting good things to come from you, but it doesn't come through the law. As I mentioned last week, a lot of us think that we're on the reward system with God, but we're not. We're on the grace system, and they're polar opposites. See, under the law, under the Ten Commandments, if you kept the law perfectly, you were blessed. But if you broke the law, if you sinned, then you were punished and you were cursed. But under grace, God supplies that obedience through his Son, and he supplies the righteousness that you and I can never earn. He supplies that as a free gift through Jesus. It's completely different. So not only is this the plan of salvation that God has presented, but it's also the plan for every blessing that you're seeking in your life. This idea, and you've heard this, I'm sure, because it's all around the church world. Salvation is free, but every blessing after that costs you a lot. Exactly. It's a lie. And if you believe that, unfortunately, you're minimizing your blessings. You're minimizing or negating your ability to receive. To me, that was a complete paradigm shift. Amazing. So today we want the Holy Spirit to change our minds and to change our hearts, not by me speaking, but by his word, by you hearing the word of God's grace. The other great benefit is peace. You can't have peace if you think you're on the hamster wheel all the time trying to earn God's approval, because we can't do it by what we do. What's most pleasing to God is when you believe in his son. So as Dennis said earlier, it's actually easy. But it's difficult because of our carnal nature. And a lot of times the incomplete teaching that we received. The enemy, he wants you to have worry about your right standing before God. He wants you to worry about that. Every time you do something wrong, every time you say the wrong thing, every time you sin, he wants you to think your relationship has been compromised with God. Not true. Not true at all. God no longer measures you by the law, but he measures you by the payment that Jesus made. Good things cannot happen through you if you're tied to the law. You'll find that out today. We want to please God, right? We want to do some good things, and it's impossible if you're tied to the law. You'll find out why in a little bit later here. So the law is about demand. Demand of your perfect obedience. And the grace of God is all about supply. And that supply all comes through Jesus. So now let's go back to the beginning. Where did this all, what happened? Now, I was taught that the first covenant was the Ten Commandments given to Moses. That's not actually true. So I want to take you back to Genesis. Because sometimes if you understand what God's original intention was, based on that first promise, by the way, you were called to freedom from the law. His original intention was never for you to be under the Ten Commandments. Let's go to Genesis. Because in Genesis 15, 16, and 17, God made the original covenant with Abraham. And it's not just for Abraham, it's also for all the people of God following Abraham. So Genesis 17, 7, it's specified here for you. It's a promise. This is God speaking. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting solemn pledge to be a God to you and your posterity after you. This is the original covenant. Now, it's really easy to tell when it's a promise of grace when God says, I will. That means he's supplying it. It's what God does, not what you do. All you do is say yes. So this is the original covenant. And like I say, it wasn't just for Abraham, it's for us too. Now, I didn't give Sandra this particular promise, but just hear the word of the Lord. Scripture promises that if we believe in Jesus, we belong to him and we are heirs to this promise. We are the spiritual, correct descendants of Abraham, not by genealogy, but by faith, because it's the same faith, as you'll soon see. So what was this covenant based on? Abraham lived hundreds of years before the Ten Commandments were given. So what is it based on? It's specified, well, in several places in Genesis, but here's Genesis chapter 14, verse 6. And Abram believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. The first original covenant is based on righteousness by faith, not righteousness by what you do. And if you study Abraham, you'll find that he sinned, and he lied, and he did all kinds of stuff. God never punished him. Not because God didn't care, but because God always saw him as righteous, just like he does you and I, because we're righteous by faith. Now, it says Abram here because God later changed his name. Abraham means father of many nations. And that's not just by the Jewish race. It's also a spiritual thing for us. We're part of that covenant of grace. So what happened? What the heck happened? There's a lot of time between Abraham and Mount Sinai. But what I want you to understand is that the children of Israel, between Abraham and Mount Sinai, they were under the covenant of grace the whole time. So why was the law given? All right, let's talk about that. It's revealed in Exodus In Exodus, here's what God says to the children of God. It's in chapter 19, verse 5. Now, therefore, if you obey my voice in truth and keep my covenant, then you shall be my people. What covenant is God talking about? Yeah, he's talking about the Abrahamic covenant. He's not talking about the Ten Commandments because they weren't even given yet. They weren't even given yet. So God's intention was to reaffirm his covenant of grace. So what changed? What happened? It's what the people of Israel said, and people are still saying it today. Okay, I want you to check out what the people say in Exodus chapter 19, verse 8. This is before the Ten Commandments were even given. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. That is a statement of pride. And they're asking God now not to bless them on grace, on his supply, but what we will do. They're asking to be blessed by their actions, by their behavior, by their ability to do the right thing. And God was not pleased with that answer. But they still weren't punished. So I know what you're asking, because I asked the same thing. Lord, if this is all true, which it is, why was the law given? Why was it even given? The answer is given in Romans chapter 3, verses 20 through 22. Oh, I'm sorry. Is that right? Yeah, that's right. Is it just verse 20? Sorry about that. I'm glad you checked up on me. For no person will be justified in God's sight by observing the works prescribed by the law. For the real function of the law is to make men recognize and be conscious of sin. So the children of Israel back before the Ten Commandments were given, they thought all that complaining, all that whining, all that unbelief, they didn't think that was sin. And wanting to be blessed by your actions, they didn't think that that was sin either, but it is. So God gave it. That means that the law is basically for people that don't believe yet. They haven't accepted the covenant of grace, because that way they'll know that they're actually sinners. How many times have you heard, "Oh well, I'm a good person. I'm pretty moral. I try to do the right thing. My good outweighs my bad." It all sounds good, but God doesn't grade on the curve. He doesn't. So the law, when these same people, self-righteous people, and I'm not talking to you, because you obviously know you're sinners. I know I'm a sinner. That's why I asked Jesus to be my Savior. So the law is for people that deny that they sin. They deny that, you know, that their relationship with God is broken by what they do. So you and I, we no longer need the law, and you'll find that out. But as you see here, no person is justified in God's sight by observing the works prescribed by the law. But let's remember this function, because it'll come back and it'll help explain a lot of things as we go further. So what God wants everybody to do is come to an end of themselves so that they will seek his son, because Jesus is the only answer. There is no other answer. And that's the real purpose of it. The law is like a mirror for people. They see their true sinful self when they look in the law. The law is not holy, and it's not. The law is holy and it's good, but it can't make you holy and good. If you've got a really bad cut and you want to see how bad it is, you're going to go look in the mirror and it'll show you how bad it is. But you're not going to heal the cut by rubbing the mirror on your face. All that does is show you, I need to go to the doctor. I need to go see my physician. Well, Jesus is the only great physician. So now you understand the purpose of the law. It's more like a mirror than anything else. So if you place yourself under the law, or even a little bit of it, you're trying to achieve your blessings by what you do. And then God demands righteousness from your every action. But if you place yourself under grace, then God supplies all that to you. Let's listen to what Jesus says in Matthew. It's chapter 5, verse 17. Because people, a lot of Christians are very confused by this. Because he says, "Do not think I came to undo the law and the prophets. I have come not to undo, but to complete and fulfill them." So people take the first part of that and they say, oh, the law is still applicable. It still applies to us. But what Jesus is talking about is that function that you just learned about. He didn't come to undo the function of the law, because the law still works for some unbelievers. Not all of them, but some. But they always forget the last part, that he came to complete and fulfill them. And he did that for you and me. He knew we would never be able to keep the law, so he kept it in our place, in our stead, as our substitute. Also so that he could be the spotless, perfect sacrifice. So that puts it in a little bit of perspective. So let's move on, because every successive promise that you hear, the Holy Spirit's going to correct your thinking, he's going to cleanse your heart, and you'll know without any doubt that you are free from the law. This is Romans chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. This is incredible. "For being ignorant of the righteousness that God ascribes, in seeking to establish a righteousness of their own, they did not obey or submit themselves to God's righteousness. Christ is the end of the law." Once you're in Jesus, the law has no bearing on you whatsoever. None. But I like what the Holy Spirit describes as people who reject grace, people who insist on being blessed by what they do. They're being ignorant of the righteousness that God ascribes. If God ascribes it to you, that means he gives it to you. He puts it in your account. It's not something you earn. And anybody that rejects grace, they're seeking to establish a righteousness of their own. They may not realize that, but that's what they're doing. And then what they're in is disobedience to God when they do that. God never intended anybody to live by the law and be saved by the law. That was not his intention. So don't let the enemy fool you. Don't let the misinformed tell you differently, because that's the work of the enemy. All right. Just in case that wasn't clear enough, let's go on, because another great thing about God's promises, when there's something really important in Scripture that God wants you to know, he repeats it over and over again. And you're going to hear every single promise about the freedom from the law. And every time you hear it, he'll expand on the meaning. You'll learn something new about it, either how or why, such as the case with this next promise. It's in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. "Christ purchased your freedom from the law by becoming a curse for you." So this explains why you're free from the law. See, you understand, just like I explained before, under the Ten Commandments, when you keep the law, yes, you're blessed. But if you sin and you break the law, you're punished and you're cursed. Now, there's a list of curses in Deuteronomy that'll curl your hair. But I would suggest you don't go read them, because it'll freak you out. But don't read them, because Jesus has redeemed you from every single one of them. And this is how. This is how and why you're free from the law. Let me just read one of them. It's from Deuteronomy 27, 26. This is good for you to hear, though. This one's good for you to hear. Cursed is every person who does not support and give assent to the words of the law to do them. And guess what the people said? Amen. In other words, they agreed to that. This was after the Ten Commandments were given. But we're not saying amen to that today. No way. Jesus set us free. Praise his holy name. Now, you want more detail? You want more inside information? You got it. Comes from Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. "Yet we know that a man is justified or reckoned righteous and in right standing with God, not by the works of the law, but only through faith and reliance on and adherence to and trust in Jesus the Messiah. Therefore, we ourselves have believed on Jesus in order to be justified by faith in the Messiah and not by the works of the law. Because by keeping legal rituals and by works, no human can ever be justified. Pretty clear. The thing I like about this promise is how the Holy Spirit describes, it's like an expanded meaning of what the law is. Legal rituals. Boy, is the church full of legal rituals. Not this church, but I'm talking about the world. I'm talking about the worldwide church and all the misinformation that Christians get. A lot of legal rituals. And by works. Works. Anything you do to try to earn God's favor. Anything that you do. Does God want good things to come from you? Yes. But it doesn't come by you trying to earn his approval. It comes by you hearing these words of grace. When you hear these promises of grace, the Holy Spirit then works in you and fills you. And it's a response then. You live a life of response to this love and this grace and this amazing Jesus who we serve. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. God brought you to life together with Jesus, having freely forgiven you all of your transgressions, having canceled and blotted out and wiped away the handwriting of the note with its legal decrees and demands, which was in force and stood against you. This he set aside and cleared completely out of your way by nailing it to the cross. Here's another description of the law. What is God talking about? What is the handwriting of the note with its legal decrees and demands? It's the Ten Commandments. Yes, exactly. You know, when you have a credit card and you go out and you rack up a bunch of debt, guess what the legal note that's going to be chasing you? The bill. That's the legal note. It's the bill you have to pay, and you got to pay it. Otherwise, there's consequences. But with Jesus, with his grace and his payment on the cross, it's like a prepaid gift card. It is. He prepaid the debt of your entire sin 2,000 years ago. So that's why it's a prepayment. So when you get one of those gift cards for your birthday, when you go out and spend it, you don't care, right? There is no note coming due. There is no bill coming due. You only go until you run out of what the prepayment is. The good news is that the prepayment Jesus made for you is unlimited. Unlimited, which you'll soon see. But before we go off this one, notice the very first part of this, because a lot of Christians don't get this. I was taught that only my past sins were forgiven. And from then on, I had to confess my sins in order to get them forgiven as a requirement, as a work, basically. Listen to what God says. Not only did he bring you to life, but you're freely forgiven of all your transgressions. All means all. The sins of your past, the sins of your present, all the sins of your future are completely wiped out. Completely out of your way, because God nailed that to the cross. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Galatians chapter 2, verse 21 promises you this. For if righteousness, which is, God calls it right standing, comes from the law, then the Messiah died groundlessly and for no purpose. Whew. People that insist on keeping the law, or, hey, you got to have grace and the law, they're nullifying Jesus in their life. They're nullifying his very power. Woo. Let's not do that. Let's receive the purpose why Jesus freed us from the law. Now, the next couple here are what I call reverse blessing promises. Because not only is it unwise to try to keep the law, it's actually bad for you. It is. It's really bad for you. You'll understand. Here's reverse blessing promise number one. It's in Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. And all who depend on the law, who are seeking to be justified by obedience to the law, are under a curse and doomed to disappointment and destruction. How clear is that? So when you hear people saying that, you got to have law and you got to have grace, you got to have a balance of the two. No. No. No, that freedom is for a reason. Because Jesus wants to free you and keep you safe from every curse. He doesn't want you to be disappointed. He doesn't want any destruction, not only in your salvation, but in any part of your life. All of these promises are applicable to the blessings that you're seeking. And they're going to be hard to receive if you've got this idea of earning the approval of God by your actions. So, reverse blessing promise number two is in Romans chapter 4, verse 14. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be heirs, then faith is made void. This answered a lot of questions for me about why I wasn't receiving the blessings, why I wasn't being blessed more. Because as long as I kept thinking, I got to do things for God, I got to do this, you know, he wants me busy, I got to pray more, I've got to fast more, I've got to speak in tongues more, I'm voiding faith in my life. I'm voiding the grace in my life. And when you do that, your blessings, they can't come to you. Have you ever been out watering your lawn, you know, with one of those long hoses? And before you went out there, you turned the water on full. It was on full. And you go out there and you turn the handle on, and just a trickle comes out or nothing comes out. And you think, what is going on? And then you look back and you see there's this big crimp. It's a big crimp in the hose. The water's on. It's being supplied, but you're not receiving it. That's exactly what the law does to you. It puts a big crimp in every part of your being, and you're not able to receive. So don't blame God. I used to blame God. Why am I not more blessed? You're not a good God. Well, yes, he is a good God. He just said, David, you just don't understand. There's nothing like God's wisdom, though. So let's make it even more clear. Here's Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. Now that you've heard these promises, now it's evident that no person is justified through the law. No person, not one. Let's go on to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 56. This also explains a lot. Now sin is the sting of death, and sin exercises its power through the law. So, if you have any mindset at all of the law or trying to do the right thing or earn your blessing, you're increasing sin in your life because the power comes from the law. Pretty wild. This also explains that if you have deadness in some area of your life, let's say you're having problems in your family, maybe there's relationship problems. Let's just take that as an example, and you just feel deadness in that relationship. This might explain some of it, either on your part or on their part. It doesn't come by your obedience or your faithfulness. You need to extricate yourself from the law and get that out of your thinking. If you add even a little bit of law in your life, you're nullifying grace and separating yourself from Jesus, your source, as you will soon hear. Don't bring deadness to your blessings by keep thinking about what you have to do. And instead, concentrate and focus on what Jesus has already done for you. Big, big difference. Now, as you probably figured out, the law is way more than just the Ten Commandments. There's a whole bunch of rules in Deuteronomy and Leviticus, but it's way more than that. As you now know, it's self-effort. It's self-effort. For those of you not convinced yet, let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 4. This is incredible. If you seek to be justified and declared righteous and to be given a right standing with God through the law, you are brought to nothing and so separated from the Messiah. You have fallen from grace. So what I was just explaining to you, here's the promise that backs that up. Jesus never separates himself from you. But every time you think, oh, I have to do this to please him, you're separating yourself from him. And when you're separated from your source, how many blessings do you think you're going to be able to receive? Not too many. The other thing I like about this is it's a direct stab, once again, to the religious mafia that tell you the wrong thing. They'll tell you that when you sin, you've fallen from grace. No, it's when you try to be justified by the law that you fall from grace. God's already taken care of your sin. He took care of it 2,000 years ago. Done. So don't let the misinformed lead you down the primrose path, as my dad used to say. You don't need to make yourself seem more deserving to receive. Just hear these promises. Just store them up in your heart. Romans chapter 5, verse 20. Now, this is basically talking about what happened right at Mount Sinai. Because before then, they were under the covenant of grace. But then the law came in, only to expand and increase sin. But where sin increased and abounded, grace has surpassed it and superabounded. So let's go back to that original explanation of what the function of the law is. Because the function of the law is for people that are in denial so that they'll see that they're in sin. And God made it so that when they hear the law, the sin in their life actually increases. When you expose yourself to the grace of Jesus, sin in your life decreases. Like I said before, they're polar opposites. So these misinformed people that keep saying, oh, you got to have the law with the grace, and then they don't understand what happens in their life, that it goes off the rails because the law came in to expand and increase sin. But here's where the prepaid gift card comes in. Remember I told you it's an unlimited amount? Grace has surpassed it and superabounded over any sin. Any sin and every sin. When you come to Jesus, grace surpasses it. You don't have to worry about it. God took care of it because he knew you couldn't take care of it. So he did it for you because he loves you. So the Holy Spirit now, and I don't think any of you have this, but boy, when they hear these words of grace, he removes the pride from their heart. He removes the self-righteousness from their heart. He removes the denial from their heart. You know, the first step in receiving Jesus is the acknowledgement of your need. And boy, do I need him. I need him every day, all the time. Now, this is exactly why you see Jesus quote the law in the scriptures sometimes. And that's confusing for a lot of Christians. But it's based on what I just told you. Jesus never quoted the law to anybody unless he knew they had that pride, that self-righteousness, and that denial. Unfortunately, the people of God at the time when Jesus was walking the earth, they were taught by the Pharisees to follow the law. They were taught that they could keep the law. And Jesus says, oh, really? You can keep the law, huh? So on the Sermon on the Mount, here's just an example. So you think you can keep the sixth commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. Maybe outwardly you're not sleeping with your neighbor's wife, but if you lust in your heart, you've broken the commandment. Now do you think you can keep the commandments? He was trying to break that bubble of their self-righteousness and their pride so they would come to him. And of course many did. But it took 3 years of him preaching all this stuff. And even the disciples didn't quite get it at first. But you know what? That's our carnal nature. I'm not bagging on the disciples because this all, you know, the Holy Spirit used them to reveal these truths to us. I'm just saying that's why Jesus quoted the law in the Gospels. It's not because he wants you to follow it, because the real function of the law is to show these people their sin. So now you know that answer to that question, because I never understood that. So here's the good news. Just by you hearing these promises of grace, the Holy Spirit is cleansing you of any falseness. And now, effortlessly, you're going to start to bear fruit. You don't have to do anything. And here's the promise that basically gives you that exact promise. It's in Romans chapter 7, verse 4. Likewise, my brethren, you have undergone death as to the law through the crucified body of the Messiah, so that now you belong to another, to him who is raised from the dead, in order that you may bear fruit to God. Now, you've heard Pastor Craig preach on this a whole bunch. Fruit does not work to be produced. The tree works to produce it, but the fruit doesn't. It's a result. It's not a cause. It's not the source. It's a result. So that's why I can say to you, it's effortless. So what fruit exactly is God talking about? He's talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what now is going to appear in your life effortlessly. Galatians 5:22 says, "For the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Those are the fruits of the Spirit. Now, if those behaviors are being exhibited into you, are you going to break the Ten Commandments? No, of course not. So now your motivation is no longer keeping rules and regulations. Instead, it's being responsive to the Holy Spirit. And that's an effortless thing. Effortless thing. So you don't have to worry about any of that either. The last promise is Galatians 5, verse 18, that basically says the same thing. It promises, if you're guided by the Holy Spirit, you're not subject to the law. Now, this sounds conditional, but the good news is the Holy Spirit's already in you. You wouldn't even be here unless you trusted Jesus as your Savior, and every believer has the Holy Spirit. But what I want you to know is that the more you expose yourself to these promises of grace, the greater your faith will be imparted to you, and you'll see greater results in your life, greater blessings in your life. So walk out of here today knowing that your blessings will now increase. Your behavior is going to become more godly just by hearing these. And the fruit of the Spirit will increase in your life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you suffered and died and gave us this amazing free gift along with countless other free gifts. But today, Lord, let us receive the free gift of freedom from the law. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit that you've changed our thinking today. You have just removed burdens from us. Wipe away, Lord, the condemnation and guilt that the enemy uses against us with the law. Have us break free, Lord, from any shame involved with the law. Let us receive also the free gift that the sins of our entire lifetime are completely removed, taken out of the way, erased, and gone forever. Thank you, Jesus, for your amazing sacrifice. And thank you that we are always yours. We are always yours. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Father, for gathering us together. Bless the tithe and the offering that we're going to receive now, Lord, so that your word can go forth, so that people can be set free, that you, Lord Jesus, can show everybody your love and forgiveness, your grace, and the freedom that you bring through your sacrifice. Make it so, Father, in Jesus' name. We're going to have Randell and Luann come up and